got two instruments, the same kind of instrument. Which one is better? Do I need both of them? We're going to answer that question for you on the Tune Shed. We're going to help you make use of how to decide between one of two tools in the Tune Shed, specifically today, electric guitar.
Let's go. Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music lovers, better music listeners, and better creators. In a reverse order today, I'm your host, Make Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. What's up, Marty?
Reverse. So we were just talking about Rick Rubin because you said you had his book behind you.
Yeah, right there. I bought his book. This is not a sponsorship, but yeah, I bought his book, and it was on TikTok, I was saying, and everyone was talking about it on TikTok and is getting some critiques for being really spiritual. And by the way, if you don't know Rick Rubin, he's is he a producer technically, or just
he's a producer? Yeah, one of the most legendary producers.
And he did like all the greats that you can think of. But his whole thing is like, I don't know anything about music. I don't know how to play an instrument. Like all his whole thing is he kind of knows what's true, and he helps people find that. One of the interesting things he says in the book and on those TikTok videos too is like, the audience comes last. Which Whoa. Is so weird because That's you think weird. About business and things where it's like the customer's first, right? But he says the opposite, because in the case of music, the audience doesn't know what they want. If you give them what they think they what you think they want, it's not gonna be as good. They're looking for an expression, something genuine. They're looking for something they don't know what it is, actually, right?
I resonate with that.
And the only way to get at that is to get at you. And that's what you can deliver on that front. And I'm probably paraphrasing this poorly. He's very guru-esque, you know, in his presentation and the way he puts things out there. But it's an interesting book. I've read 14 pages.
I'm sure we'll talk about it a little more, like when you read it, and then I'm inevitably gonna read it too.
I'll read it and send it to you. But yeah, it got some heat for being a little bit spiritual, a little like guru-y, and. So far, I understand what he's saying. Think I understand what he's saying. He hasn't lost me on it. Like, I think some things that are tagged as spiritual, they lose me when I don't know what they're trying to communicate. And I think I get what he's trying to communicate. So I'm still with him on this journey of the first 14 pages.
And from what little I know about Rick Rubin, like, he's a vibes guy. He has the ultimate vibe, you know?
Totally.
And, like, he's made money from his vibe.
I watched a video. It's like he's with like Alicia Keys or something, and she like hired him to help, and he's just like barefoot in the studio, just like laying there like he's asleep or dead.
Yeah.
And at some point she's like, "What's up? Like, what do you think of the song?" And he's like, I think he just reflects the question. He's like, "Where are you at? Like, I think it's like feeling good and genuine." And like, he eventually does guide her in some ways, but it's not in the way you'd think. Like, he's very just like, he listens a lot and is trying to make sure the vibe is right. And again, I'm paraphrasing his whole science, or his whole approach, I should say.
I read Anthony Kiedis's autobiography, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Also Flea's autobiography too. So I have at least one half of the Chili Peppers down, but
yeah. Do they all have autobiographies?
I don't think all of them do. And Flea only has the first half of his life, like up to Stadium Arcadium. So he's written his first. Flea's book is called Acid for the Children. It's awesome. But it's only up until Stadium Arcadium, goes from his childhood to there. But Anthony Kiedis's book is sort of just like his whole thing. And they both say like, Rick Rubin he never said, this is what I want you to do. He was always the lights came on when he heard something that we felt good about, you know? And
whoa. So he's picking up on that.
He's like ultimate energy dude. Like when something genuine and good is happening in the studio and everyone's like feeling good about something, Rick Rubin is there awake being like, let's foster that. You know, let's make that happen.
Yeah. That's a powerful thing.
I could never do it. I can never do that.
Well, actually, I feel like there's different iterations of it, because, you know, and we're going off topic a little here, but when we were talking about how to record vocals and do vocal takes, and I think we actually did a bunch of vocal takes for, you know, the song we made on the podcast, right? Like, so we were doing that live. One of the things you were saying is something that's helpful is just have someone else in the room be like, yep, that's a take. We got it. We're good. Let's move on. And you're like, wait a minute. Because when you're singing and self-critiquing and listening back, and you're actually advising not to listen back too much and only in certain areas, and go check out those episodes if you want to learn more. But it's interesting, like your own internal thought process says, maybe I can squeeze a little more out or something, but someone else can sort of hear it without that, you know, maybe internal critique going and just say, we're good there. Trust me. We can move on. We have what we need. And that's a really magical thing to have another person help you be like, okay, we're right. We're on the right track.
Of course. Yeah. A lot of rappers bring their boys for that. You know, they bring their crew and then, you know, the crew responds. I mean, it's sort of the same situation. It's just a little bit more like masculine.
Well, I mean, yeah, if the friends think it's great, then it is great. Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
in a way you're kind of fostering the vibe of the crew, which is, if that's what you're going for, that's exactly who you need.
Yeah, man. And if you're making like ego music like that, like, yeah, you want the ego to be fed. You want your boys to like, be like, that's fire, that's heat, keep going. You
Snoop Dogg pays a dude $50,000 a year to roll in blunts. I wonder if I wonder if that dude has a take. You know, like he's rolling, and Snoop Dogg's like, what do you think of that? And he's like,
yeah, you gotta wonder if he's in the studio with him. He probably has to be, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, at first, I was like, that's an amazing deal. $50,000 a year, all you have to do is roll blunts for Snoop Dogg. But then I realized you have to go everywhere Snoop Dogg goes, which could be incredibly fun, but also, I don't know, if you're trying to do your own thing,
that's
probably
true.
Less fun. Yeah, but you, I would love to get that. Whoever that person is, I want them on the podcast.
Yes, dude.
Ex Snoop Dogg blunt roller speaks freely. Oh, what do we have here?
Ooh, we should get into it. Should we?
Let's get into it. Yep. That was a sign.
So I have my handy dandy quarter inch cable. So I have two guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And I just bought a second one.
Yeah. Congrats.
Because the whole thing is I had a PRS custom 24, 22. I can't remember. But it's like a $600, $700 guitar. I've had this for a long time.
Dang, it's beautiful.
And it's a good one. It's a nice guitar. It's got a lot of options. It's got a tone knob here, and then it has three tone knobs and a volume knob.
Or how much tone can you change on a guitar?
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That's the whole thing. Dude, that's the whole point. So I realized that this guitar was very difficult for me to play because I'm not very good at guitar. Especially electric guitar. I learned on acoustic. I'm pointing backwards at my acoustic guitars, but
yeah,
I primarily learned on acoustic, and I played acoustic all through college. And electric guitar has been difficult for me because of the action, right? And this guitar specifically came with really thin strings. And so for years I played on really thin strings, and the thing about thin strings is when you push them down hard, they bend their pitch. Right. In fact, I can demonstrate.
Oh, because you actually move the string around? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, especially with thin strings, especially, you sort of change the gauge on them a little bit. So here, I'll just sort of hold up the guitar and show the video people what I'm talking about. But here's a note, and I'm going to press it harder.
Yeah.
On the lower notes, it's even more apparent. If I'm here, let me grab a pick. So here's an F sharp, and I'm gonna press it really, really tight.
Wow,
it's almost a G. A
lot of movement.
I'm not bending the string at all. I'm just pressing harder.
Yeah.
So when I play a bar chord and I sort of press lightly, clean. But then when I press heavy, it sort of goes out of tune.
Starts to warp
and,
a little.
Yeah, it does. And so it's difficult to like strum and do like rock heavy stuff with this guitar because it's so hard to tune. You have to have a light, delicate, precise touch to play this guitar, and I realized I could just change the strings to a heavier string, and I did, but I still get that problem because it's just a very gummy guitar. And so I went to my local music shop, and I was between a Strat and a Telecaster, and I ended up buying a Telecaster.
And
this
another
is the
beautiful
new Telecaster
guitar. Wow.
And it's sort of it's much It's much more sturdy, a lot like a lot thicker, a lot better for like comping. But it still has a little bit of the.
Oh yeah.
But it only goes up and down at like 20 cents, whereas this thing goes up and down maybe 70 if I press the same amount.
Yeah.
So it's much sturdier, much easier for me to play as like an amateur guitar
Is a
player.
100 cents a semitone?
Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, this one goes up maybe. That's as hard as I can press it. Yeah, it's like 25 cents. I have a tuner up
Yeah.
on Ableton, so I can
So,
actually.
on your when you play acoustic guitar, were you just like pressing harder naturally because of the action on those guitars, or?
Yeah, and they're not really like, at least the guitars that I learned on, they when you press really hard, that's good. It's
Yeah,
like a
you
good
just get a
thing.
cleaner sound because you make sure you pinch all those strings down and,
That's right.
right? Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think just these electric guitars, they're more sensitive. So, but
Interesting.
that begs the question, do I really need to keep this PRS? And do I need two
Ooh.
guitars and how different are they really?
You need two,
Right?
you got five in view.
No. Well,
I'm thinking about buying one
I'm a
myself.
musician. I'm a creature of excess, you know.
Yes, no,
I'm
no,
like
no, no. I
more,
mean, those are
more.
all different acoustic guitars. I know one of those, a Nashville tuned one, which we talked about in previous episodes too. Really
That's
cool.
right.
Also, we put that in the song. It's oh, they're so cool.
They're cool. They're so cool. Everything's
Yeah.
cool. Everything's worth it. So my like the question I wanted to explore today is what's really the difference and how really the really what this episode is about is how do we cleanly AB two things? Right? How do we do science? How do we do music science? So
Yeah.
let's get into it.
All right,
Let's do
let's
it.
get into it. Here
All
we
right.
go.
Here we go. Screen sharing. So here I have Telecaster and PRS. I have two tracks. And
Okay.
I think what we're going to do right now is we're just going to go over like the tone options clean without an amp, right?
Okay.
So here is my Telecaster. I have my Telecaster in my hand, so so I have one volume knob. Snarly. And Telecasters have this like reputation for being snarly. They're like the country guitar.
Oh yeah.
So
That bright
maybe.
side is quite nice.
Yeah, it's got this twang, right? Just clean. Maybe we should play the same thing clean, just sort of. We'll play the same thing clean to a click with both
Okay.
guitars and compare.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like you're literally just gonna look at both these sounds and say, do I need both these sounds or can I sell this other guitar?
Yeah, and I think what I'm gonna try to accomplish with this one, since it has more tone capabilities, I'm gonna try to get this one as close to this one as I can.
Oh, okay.
You know? Just to see like how similar can they be, and then we're gonna try and find how different they can be.
Right, and then we know the
You know?
range. I like
We
that.
know the
That's
range.
interesting.
So why don't we just choose something to play on this Telecaster here? We'll go like an easy. We'll switch to 3/4 here. E minor A B. Easy.
Beautiful.
Just like a. We'll turn on a metronome, and we'll just track it.
We're doing it.
Let's track that B again.
Thank you.
When we're bad at guitar, we can just like punch stuff like that.
That's what's amazing about the DAW.
Easy. And remember, this is just like without any amps.
Yeah, just no effects me. Here. No anything fancy.
No horse knobble. No grunder spud. None of that extra silliness. So now we plug in the PRS, and I sort of have to relearn all these knobs. Because if I remember, I have a tone knob on top, and then I have two pickup knobs and then two pickup volumes.
Okay. Because
it's sort of organized. It has, you know, this thing, like the Telecaster only has one row of six pickups, but this has four. And so there's just like so many options. So let's really
pickups are like little microphones for guitar strings, just for those who were not aware of the pickup on the guitar, right?
This is very true. They're electromagnetic pickups.
Ooh.
Electromagnetic. So I have knob 1, 2, 3, and 4. For those of you video people, I'll just go 1, 2, 3, and 4. And we're gonna figure out what all these do. So that seems like volume. Set all of them to 10. Yeah, that's volume. Knob 1 is volume. That seems like tone. Knob 2 is tone. It's all the way at 10 now, so it's really bright. That also seems like volume. And that's also tone. So
there's a volume and a tone for maybe each set of pickups, right?
I think so. That's kind of what it seems like. Let's turn both of the volume knobs off. Yeah, this is with volume 1 all the way up and volume 3 all the way down, but still nothing.
Huh. They need each other.
And then here's volume 3. Yeah, they do need each other.
Wonder why.
So one of these is, I think, corresponds to the volume of one pickup, the other to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sort of blending them. Yeah, so if I play this right here, it's sort of duller. And if I play closer to the bridge, it's sort of brighter.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a difference there. Let's try to play next to the bridge, the twangier spot.
Okay.
And play with the tone knob.
Uh-huh. I love this approach.
Now I'm playing with tone 2.
And are you aiming for that other sound?
Yeah, now I'm sort of trying to get the twangier, like, Telecaster-y sound.
Yeah.
It seems like when I turn the knob 4 up, it seems like it controls the tone of the back pickup. And it seems like the second knob controls the tone of the front pickup. Playing closer to the back pickup seems like the most Fender Telecaster-y tone.
Yeah. So getting a little extra twang.
I'm going to mute the Telecaster one, and we're going to try to track this.
All right, locking in.
I realized you couldn't hear it, but it was still going.
I heard it.
Let's do a little bit cleaner of a B. There.
I love seeing the two wave files for those who can't see. It's kind of cool to see you try to actually replicate it and see how close the wave files actually look too. Even though two wave files can look the same and sound very different. It's cool to see.
Like a good drummer, the rhythm is there. But the notes and all of the guitar-y stuff isn't there. But again, it's good to show your humanness. It's good to
Yeah.
show your humanness as a professional musician. Sometimes
Oh,
that can be cool. People love humanness.
that's great. I feel like next time I'm at work giving a presentation or something and I'd mess up, I'll be like, "Hey, this is good to show your humanness, right?"
People appreciate it
I'm
when
gonna lean into that.
you could
We're having a good
have
time.
you can have grace about it. You know, I can't be good at everything, man.
I know. You pretty much are, though. That's the maddening thing.
Well, I'm trying to get better at guitar, bro, but guitar is just so, you know. Okay, so there's that thing where, oh, what do they say? They're like, you're either a guitar or a piano person. You like think in either guitar or
Oh,
piano.
right.
You know, you like, if you go to school, no matter what you play, if you play saxophone, if you're a vocalist, if you're obviously a piano or guitar player, but everyone thinks about music in terms of one of the two, because they're both complete instruments with like an
Yeah.
easy way to visualize the whole music scale. So
Yep.
you either think in terms of like piano or guitar.
I'm trying to make the shift.
Dude, me
Piano.
too.
I want to get away from piano. I want to switch to the guitar.
When you start dreaming in guitar, that's when you know you're fluent.
When the Duolingo owl says it's time to practice guitar again.
Yeah. Play a C on the A string. Oh, I don't know what that means. Okay, so let's do an Ableton trick.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, what do
Easy
we
way
got?
to A/B stuff quickly, because what you don't want to do is click this one and two button every time you want to switch, right?
Oh, right.
You want to play at the same time. So notice how we recorded the same riff at the same time. So
Okay.
with the waveforms line up. The reason that we did that is so we can flip between them
Yeah.
easily. You want to do that as quickly as possible so your ear has the least amount of time to forget. So what we're going to
Yes.
do is press key. We're going to keybind the on switch of each track. I'm going to select the two button on my keyboard for both on and off on each track.
Oh, right.
Right? So when I press two, it
It
turns
switches.
track one on and it turns track two off at the same time.
Brilliant. And it's great because the like ears don't have much memory. So you gotta be
You gotta
switching
be quick.
quickly, you
Yeah,
know.
you gotta be super quick.
You could remember something from a long time ago, but your ear was not gonna remember that.
It's true. It's true. And I mean, that's the reason why hardware in studios, if you have like an EQ or a compressor or really anything, it has a bypass button.
Oh,
And it's
right.
always really easy to tell because you can just bypass and then the signal goes through it and the hardware is effectively muted. So you can press it and press it again to see
Yeah.
what you've done. You know, what you're doing with that
Yeah,
EQ.
and that's critical because you do all these
Super
effects
critical.
and then you think to yourself, did I make it better?
That's so right. It's so true. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna I find the most effective way to really truly A/B something is to close my eyes and go tick 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 and switch them until I can't remember which one is which.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I'm gonna do it.
At the same time, I'm gonna highlight the selection that we played and press Control L on Ableton to loop it.
Oh, right. So now
Cool?
it's just going. You'll flip it a million times. We'll have no idea which one's which.
No idea.
And we'll just figure out which one we like more or figure out.
We're just
Yeah.
gonna figure out what they sound like. I'm gonna try to make them equal volume too, because the PRS is coming in a little bit quieter. That was my fault for not making sure that was a thing, but we're okay.
Yeah.
We're fine. So we'll do the clean thing. We'll sort of let it play, and I'll press two a bunch of times. Here we go.
Okay.
Okay, this is option one. Here's two. Here's one again. Here's two. Okay, what do you think? What does option one and two have different?
So I'm just keep my eyes closed for a minute.
Me too.
So
My eyes are still closed.
option one was a little bit more muted and like that warm tone, I would say. And option two had a little more twang. Also, the dead notes on option two had a, like more of that like higher pitched feedback thing, which I think, you know, adds character to it. So option two is a little brighter, I was thinking.
Well said, brother. I wouldn't add anything. That was
really?
A really good description. Yeah.
Wow.
I had exactly the same notes. And you know what? I know these two guitars pretty well now. And
uh-huh.
I think option two is the Telecaster.
Ah, okay.
So let's see if I was right. Yeah, I was right. We ended on option two. Telecaster's unmuted.
Ah, the Twang Master itself.
Twang Master, dude. It's got a little more body too, I think. Just a tiny bit more. That might just be the tone stuff that we did.
Yeah.
You know,
I gotta say, so I like Twang. I like that bright sound, but I love that kind of muted sound as well.
I do too.
I like that in drums a lot too, like kind of muted dead drums sound so good to me.
They do, dude. Like towels on drums, bro.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that could be super useful. Like turning down all of the high pickups and having no high stuff and just getting like a dead,
yeah,
dull sound. Okay, let's do that on both of these guitars.
Oh my god. Yeah, dude, people always make fun of me when I play drums at other people's houses because I like take my shirt off and take my wallet out and just stack everything on the drum.
Yeah.
One time I had some cheese.
So good,
like a block of cheese. And
cheese?
I stuck it.
That's such a good idea.
That was actually
Wait,
with Leland.
Great.
He's coming on the podcast next week. It's going to be epic, everybody. I brought him some cheese, and then I brought some for myself. So I put my cheese on the snare drum in the studio.
Are you kidding me, dude? That is so funny because cheese is like the perfect – it's like the perfect weight.
Yes.
And it's also sticky. So it doesn't like slide around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it was good. In the Saran wrap, it worked.
Ooh, you put it in Saran wrap? So
well, it came packaged. Just packaged cheese. It wasn't just sweaty cheese right off.
Okay, I think because I'm dirty and like just a grimy man, I would probably use like naked cheese on my snare drum.
Just straight like sweaty cheese that's just been out for a couple days. And you just put that on the snare drum. And
Just a good like block of parmy. Oops, I forgot to. I forgot. Okay,
that's
hold
way
on.
Too twang.
Yeah, it's not even close to like dead enough. So let's turn down. That's.
Ooh,
as...
now we're talking. I like that.
That's as like freaking muted as like. Oh. Ugh. Sounds grody. Okay, I turned up the volume now. Ugh, I keep dropping my pick. For reference, a really good gift is a custom pick. I have one that says I'm a slice of Garbo, just to remind myself how bad I am at guitar. Whenever I need a pick, it's because of that.
Was that a gift to yourself? Or
it was originally a gift to my girlfriend.
Oh, you guys are unhinged. I love it.
Yeah, we do appreciate that sort of like we keep each other's egos in check.
Okay. Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so let's do the same thing. Let's just loop this section. I'll put the PRS down.
All right. Oh yeah, we're doing the eyes closed. Click back and forth.
That's true. I'm going to click back and forth, click back and forth. Let's listen. Here's the other one. The other one? I'm switching back and forth every time. Man, they're close. One is more even.
Did one have a note in it that the other didn't?
I don't know.
Or maybe it just rung a little. One chord sounds slightly higher. Is that? Yeah, that one.
No, the same notes are there.
It's just it rang out maybe, or maybe my ear's just picking it up. Yeah, they're pretty similar. I don't know. How would you describe those? The difference.
One has more of one has one is like has this weird frequency in it. It's like a mid range that's like it's interesting. Let's call this one. Here's one. Here's two. Here's one. Here's
I like
two.
One better. I know we're not just picking favorites, but.
Which one do you think one is?
I think one is
I actually don't know. I
have
a
guitar
no
with
idea.
The four knobs. I get the name.
You think one is the PRS?
The PRS, yes.
One is... Oh, fuck, I forgot. No, you're wrong. It's the Telecaster.
Ah, wow. So Twangmaster really has some range.
The Twangmaster is, like, even. I actually... I was going to agree with you.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought that the Telecaster would have that, like, that warbly, unpleasant thing.
Yeah.
But the Telecaster, indeed, is completely even.
That's so you liked number one there too, the Telecaster.
Yeah, I think so. I think
it's really wild that it can kind of do. It could be very different, or it could be very similar. Of course, it makes you wonder: are there sweet spots in the middle where the PRS really shines?
I mean,
we can't test
thing.
Them all, but
I know we can't. Well, there's so many options with this thing, and good on me to forget that we have a tone knob here.
We have
a three-way tone switch.
Oh, so we can do even another version.
Yes, we can. And, okay, so let me put out another disclaimer here.
Uh-huh.
I clearly don't know what I'm talking about with an electric guitar, right? The point of this isn't to give you a demo on how to shoot an electric guitar. This is to give you an idea of, if you don't know what you're looking at, and you have two things in front of you that are similar, how do we figure out the difference?
Yes.
What's the science? How's the science doing?
Yeah. Flip back and forth quickly. Trust your ear, right?
That's right. And just collect data, you know? And there's a way to collect data well.
Mm-hmm.
We have three. This is definitely the ringery one. But yeah. We have three options for tone, right? We have the middle. We have the upper. We have the lower. It seems like the lower version is like slightly more even. Uh-huh. Sound like that to you? Here's the upper.
Yeah.
Like less low, like low mids in the down position.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Huh.
Cool. Let's try it in the low position. Let's see how it stacks up with the Telecaster in the low position.
Yeah, okay. So we'll A-B those two?
Yeah, I think so. See, I played it a little bit out of tune. It's just hard to play, man. Okay, so here is the PRS.
Okay. I'm still closing my eyes. I don't know why.
Here's the Telecaster.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, the PRS is still like mid-rangey and like,
yeah, that Telecaster sound is just clean.
It's smooth. Do we want to do the other way? Try to get them as like bright and shimmery as possible.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's put them through an amp.
Oh, beautiful.
Let's do it. So I like, let's use Guitar Rig. Guitar Rig is just like your standard guitar sim, your amp sim, I guess. It's made by Native Instruments.
Yeah, this is important to know how it sounds through an amp too, because that it changes everything, right? Like, is the amp going to take those low mids and make them bigger, make them smaller? Like, what happens?
I agree.
Will we even be focused on those after the amp too?
You're right. And if you play metal, there's no reason to A-B a guitar clean. Like
yeah.
With no amp at all.
That's a good point.
You know, and I'm only doing this because I'm a producer, and I kind of want to know the unadulterated version of each of these guitars. Like, what are they coming in as stock?
Yeah,
but
totally.
If you play in a genre, like if you play in shoegaze, get your favorite shoegaze chain up and then play both of them and see which one you like more. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah.
In context. Test them in context.
Of course. Of course. Let's pull up, I don't know. Cool Plex, Vintage Plex.
Oh, I like it.
Well, good, because... That's disgusting, but again, that's the darkest this guitar can go. So let's turn up both things. That seems like the brightest. Yeah, that seems like the brightest we can go. So let's play just like a couple notes and then a chord.
Yeah.
You know, so we can test like. We'll just do that.
Perfect.
Let's go. Let's do that on both guitars. I'll try to play them similar.
Beautiful.
I have a feeling we're a little bit out of tune, but it's okay.
It is okay. I think the quality's still there. If anything, it's a good exercise to sort of ignore the pitch.
I agree. Yeah, don't let the pitch bother you.
You hear a musician say that.
Yeah, just try to ignore intonation, man. It doesn't matter.
Just ignore it. It doesn't even matter. Atonal.
Atonal, man. Oh, we don't even have anything here. So let's... I don't know if we already copy-pasted this plugin, but we'll just do that. And then we'll turn up... Oh, we'll turn up that tone knob. And we'll see about it. Well, we need to play it a little better than that. So it just feels country, man. It just feels like...
country. You're so right. Do you think the sound influences how you play it?
I'm sure it does. Everything does.
Just something in your soul's like, play it country.
Yeah, like if I were a better guitar player, I probably would have heard that and like instantly like bent that pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Well, look at those waveforms, Blake. Those are pretty close.
Those look exactly the same.
Want to do the same thing? Want to loop it and...
Let's do it.
Switch it up and...
We might get cut off, but let's just roll with it.
Beautiful. Here's one. Here's two. One more time. Here's one. Here's two.
That's
I don't know
so
which
close.
One to switch. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the first one is the Telecaster.
It is. It is the Telecaster. Nice. You know what, though? I liked how the PRS distorted.
Yeah. You're right. It did distort.
The PRS sounds like dirtier.
Yeah, it's a little more like crack to it, you know?
It does have that mid-range thing going on, whereas the Telecaster seems like more scooped and smoother and...
Yeah. Okay, so what's your final take, Marty? What's your decision here?
I don't think I'm selling this thing. I think it's interesting. I think overall, it seems as though stock for like most guitar sounds, I think the Telecaster is a better sound. That's what it seems to me.
Mm.
You know, I think it's just like it's more. It's like every test that we've done is more pleasant. However, this seems more like a utility guitar to me. Like I can get more weird, funky things. I can like bend the strings more.
Right. So maybe if you're gonna produce a little harder, you start with that one, the PRS.
Of course. And like someday, like sometime, we will get We'll get an episode in that's like extended electric guitar techniques for producers. Like, we've got to do
Ooh.
something like that for sure. Like, how to get crazy sounds out of an electric guitar. We might even bring a guest in for that one, because I know someone in town who does stuff like that. But
Ooh, fun.
like, I would use this guitar for that, because it has more. It's like more manipulatable, but this one is just stock, like a better sound, I
Yeah.
think.
Like if someone's like, "Hey, I just quickly need some like backing guitar. I want it to be clean and good." Like, yeah, easy choice.
100%. Yeah, I
Okay.
think if they're just asking me for a couple chords and I need to play them, you know, it's gonna take me 50,000 takes because I suck, but this one's gonna sound better, you know.
That's the thing, it
But if
doesn't
I'm trying
matter
to
with the
make,
DAW, you can make it happen.
I know, dude, you can record each chord separately, and that's so
Yeah.
great.
Beautiful. Well, that's pretty fun.
So,
I like that
yeah.
concept of ABing. I know we did an episode on it too, but it's super important. Your ear forgets things.
It
And now
does.
we have these like kind of larger definitions of what these guitars are besides their real sound, and we can remember that and sort of take that forward as how we use these guitars in music making.
That's true. And like, we can take this idea and do it to anything. We could take these two guitars, this one and that
Yeah.
one, and compare them. Although I know much more about these two guitars than I do about these two guitars. So
Right.
I wouldn't personally have to do that, but we could. We could compare flutes, we could compare shakers. I have like 10 shakers. We could do the
Yeah.
same thing. We could sort of compare all those. It's really useful to know how each of your tools are in reference to other tools.
Yeah, it's a good point getting to know
Like,
your instruments too. I always feel like the more instruments I have, the more I feel like they all need to be played and loved. And people come over and they'll hit my little, I have like a Rav, which is kind of like a steel drum, but a little different. And people start tapping. I'm like, please play it. Like it needs the love. But also, if you know
yeah.
it well, then you're not doing all that experimenting when you're trying to be creative. Like you're like, oh, I'm going to pick up this guitar because I'm looking for this sound. I know exactly how to get it. And then I'll play around with it a little bit and I'll, stay in that creative flow.
100%. Yeah, I want to play a Rav sometime. That thing sounds so cool.
Yeah, you gotta, dude, we gotta see each other eventually. It's been years.
Soon. The plane tickets are coming back down, bro.
The plane tickets are coming back down. Hey, that reminds me, the thing I usually do at the beginning, but if you want to support the podcast, we're trying to upgrade it. Maybe we're trying to get together sometime and do something live. That'd be fun. I haven't seen Marty in years, but if you want to support us, we got a link down below for the listener support. It's in the show notes. And we'd appreciate it. It's a lot of fun making this, and we want to make it the best thing it can be.
We really do. And
We
go
do.
AB stuff. Go AB some instruments that you have duplicates of. Do it with instruments in your computer too. Do it with plugins, because it works with
Oh,
plugins too. Same thing.
that's a good one. Compressors. I'm always like, why are there 800 types of compressors? I don't know the difference. I need to just use a compressor right now, but maybe I should spend some time and get to know my compressors.
Bro, if you've got two compressors, try to get them really, really similar. Try to put them at the same setting, see how they're different, and then test their limits, like exactly like we did with the guitars.
Oh,
You know, do the
that
middle,
is. I
and
can't
then
believe I haven't done
see
that.
how crazy they can get, and then see how not crazy they can get.
That's so funny.
Same thing.
And this is actually a really good life concept. I'm gonna blow it up, but I play frisbee, and I always tell people if you have problems with a throw, try throwing it as much this way and as much that way as possible so you know those limits, and then try to find the sweet spot in the middle. I don't know if you do that in disc golf at all. Is it the same thing?
Oh yeah, save. I mean, we have a
Yeah.
lot of tools in disc golf, right? So like with
Yeah.
ultimate, you have one frisbee, you
Yep.
know, but with disc golf, you have different discs.
Yep.
The same thing, you have two different putters and you think they're going to do different stuff. Try throwing them the same way and see if they're actually that different.
Yeah, for
Same
real. Just
thing,
go
dude.
AB
AB your
anything in your
putters, dude.
life. AB your relationships. AB.
AB your two girlfriends, why not?
Jeez. Oh, well, it's getting cringy, so let's sign up. Just playing. That it is true though. It's good to test limits, and it's good to learn these things. But yeah, send us in your ABs too. Let us know your best instrument, what's good for what. TheTuneShedPodcast@gmail.com. And
Yeah.
until next time, everybody.
Bye. Send me an email if you know what my PRS knobs do. Bye.
Bye, everyone.